Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. And I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. More than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. You know I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I love this old song. You know my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough all that Jesus died, and that he died for me, and that he died for me. He died for me.
Good morning. How many of you can say God is faithful? Hasn't he always been faithful? And it is my desire to attempt to be just as faithful. But how many of you have gone through those times in life where you're trying to be faithful, but it seems dry? You're trying to be faithful, but you're in a valley. You're trying to be faithful, but it seems like God's at a distance. I heard a pastor once say, during those times, remain faithful. Brother Doug said earlier this morning, stand firm. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful until it's fruitful. And during that time, you will see how God was faithful that entire time. Amen? Welcome. I'm glad to have you back. And I want to introduce some things to you to not overlook. Over here, we have a couple of tables. We have a couple with us that minister in Haiti, right? I want to get that right. Yes, minister in Haiti. Everyone, welcome these two. You will hear from them a little later tonight. He's going to say the prayer for us later tonight, so you'll hear a little bit about what they're doing tonight. There's a book over here of what God has been doing through their ministry and what the wonderful things that they have seen God do through that. I believe you were the author of that. Remind me of your name again. It just left me. I'm sorry. She was the author of this, and so please check out her book. It'll be over here, and we might even get it into the bookstore. I think they were going. I jumped the gun on that one a little bit, but they're going to talk to you about that. Also, right there is the WGM table. A couple of our missionaries will set up their things right over here, so make sure you check that out. The Donahues, who are sitting back there. How many of you got to see little David, their little boy? So precious. How old is he now? 19 months. And yesterday, well, 2 days ago now, we got a 15-month-year-old, completely changed our family forever. We brought in two foster daughters the day before camp, and one is 15 months, and one is 4 years old. How many of you have seen those two precious girls? Pray for us as we take in not only girls, because we raised three boys, but young girls, we're back to changing diapers. So pray for us as we go through that. We want to be a family that represents Christ to these girls who have gone through trauma their entire life. So pray for us as we minister and disciple these two little girls. And if you look on this side, the Potter's House has a table over here, T-shirts. I think my wife has one of every color. Now, necklaces and all kinds of bracelets and other kinds of things over here to support the Potter's House. You can scan here to donate to the Potter's House to help them out. This afternoon at 1:30, the ladies will be having their meeting. Is that going to be in here? It'll be in here, 1:30. Today, after lunch, come in here, you ladies, and you'll do your little lady thing that you do. I don't know what the ladies do, but they do their lady things. Yes?
Well, just a question of the hour. What is Monday? That seems to be a day to look at here at camp.
That is a very good question. What is on Monday?
Missionary Day.
Missionary Day. So you're going to hear from our missionaries. And we have a veteran team, the Strongs, who have been at it for a while. And we have a team that is trying to get to the field for the first time. So you're going to get both sides of the story and see how God is working in both of their ministries. So I'm excited about Missionary Day. It's always a great day. And missionaries and anyone else from WGM that would like to join us after the evening service tonight, we're going to be meeting up at the President's Cottage for refreshments, and we'll talk about Missionary Day and get that all planned out. Okay. One good thing, if you did not come to the 9:30 Bible study, you missed out. Dr. Carter, I believe we had more people in here today than we've had in a while, because I took our stats from the last 2 years and I made that amount of copies, and we were still short. If you didn't get notes this morning, raise your hand so I know how many I need to make. All right, I'm still short a good 10. So we had a good turnout at our Bible study this morning. I will get you notes for the first day, and then you can find a buddy to copy off of. I saw some of you writing down in your notebooks. You can just copy your notes over there. We will add to those notes as we go through the week. But he's going back to the basics. He's going through what we believe with God, what we believe in sin, and what we believe in the Bible, and et cetera, all through that. And I got thinking that I wanted to tell you. I was supposed to tell you yesterday that my wife is doing the kids again. I forgot to introduce my wife yesterday. I was trying to keep that a secret. But over in the kids, they are doing Christmas in July. So we're praying for snow this week. It would be nice just for one day. They're doing Christmas in July, but don't let the theme fool you. They are going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and they are making a Bible timeline that they have folded up accordion style, And so they will go through the different parts of the Old Testament. They'll go through the different parts of the New Testament, prophets and prophecies and kings and judges and the church and the disciples. They're going through all of those key things in timeline style and finding in the Bible truth about each of those things. So by the end of the week, your child will come home with a timeline of the Bible in their hand that summarizes the entire Bible from cover to cover. Straight truth. And Kylie is one of the best that she can put the Bible inside of a child's head and they retain it somehow. I don't know how she does. I taught private school for 13 years. I don't know how she does it. I was still trying to teach fifth graders how to multiply. I don't know how she does it. But at our church, the kids will go up to their parents and say, hey, did you know that blah, 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 blah? And their parents are like, no, what is that story again? Tell me about that. So I'm excited about what's going on over in our kids program. And this year we have a new youth director. Andrew, will you stand up? I forgot to introduce him last night too. Andrew is coming to us through Alma, Georgia. He is the youth director at Bobby Bentley's church down in Alma, Georgia. So Andrew Newberry is jumping right in, and I think things are going well over there, and I'm excited about his leadership with the team. So they're with us at the 11 o'clock today. They'll have their own service at 7, so they won't be here tonight. I think there's two times where you switch. I think, is it two or three? Three times when they'll be in at the 11 and have their own 7. Special times during those times of dedication and challenging word. So I'm excited about the team we have this year. You want to worship? All right, let's stand and I'll pray and then we'll start worshiping. Father God, here we are again before your throne. And we come boldly proclaiming your name, proclaiming your promises, proclaiming your faithfulness, proclaiming your truth. Father, may you be glorified through this time. We worship you because you are oh so worthy. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing if you would, please. When we walk with for I was looking at this song and thought, I'll probably leave out a couple of verses. And the more I looked at the verses, I thought, you can't leave these out. These are all, every one of these verses will stand on its own. So let's continue singing this song. But we never can. Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. All right, that song talks about what he hears, and that was our worship. Now let's transition into what we hear. Lean forward as we hear from the Word and as we listen to what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Amen. We got off to a great start last night, getting close to Jesus, closing in that distance, having him breathe life and power into us. Let's keep that going. Let's get the ushers to come forward and take up, it can be any four. Come forward, take up the tithes and offering. When you're done, Amber, where's Amber? There she is. She's collecting the morning offering this morning. She's in the middle right there by the soundboard, which reminds me, there was a little boy, he's maybe 10 or 11, went to his mom after church, and he was carrying a bucket full of cash. And she said, "Where did you get that money?" And he said, "I don't know, just some old man handed it to me, and so I left with the bucket." So, Amber, don't just carry the bucket out. Just kidding. Jesse, will you pray for us this morning?
To find a way. Wow.
let your love come over us, and let your light shine on us. Jesus, shine on us.
Thank you, Brian. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, we invite you probably to the most, I know we're going to fight this thing. Proverbs chapter 3, probably the most familiar proverb there is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you'll turn there, we'll be there in a minute. What do we think? We think it's going to make it? It's not going to make it? It wants me to hold a mic? That sounds good. Doesn't sound good? That sound all right? Okay, let's try it. I'm also, last night it was real spiritual, emotional. Today, I'm really offended. I have great offense, Brother Doug. I've come to this place. I didn't think about it last night. There was so much on my mind. The last time I was here, there was an air conditioner that was in this pulpit. Now there's a bunch of holes. I also noticed that the fan's that one's barely going. That one's not going at all. And all the duct work goes that away. I was born at night, but not last night. I guess I'm going to swap out. You want to? What you want to do? Was that quick enough? What do I need to do with this? It's on now. You got me? Well, this ought to be an experience. I don't know if I can talk with one hand, all right? But we will try, all right? But my offense hopefully will just go away as I sweat. But what a wonderful, last night I sensed the Lord's presence. What a great, I had many family that were here and reacquaintances with folks. I'll tell you something unique, and it will not happen probably all week, but something I noticed the last 10 weeks, and Suzanne and I have talked about it a lot. I've always been the extrovert, and Suzanne's been the introvert. There's other things we could joke about and how we've changed in our marriage through the years. She now controls the remote more than I do, and other things like that. But one of the things that I've noticed is I have become almost a dig a hole, going to be by myself, walk away from the crowd kind of person over the last 10 weeks. And I know it's part of the grief process. I've heard plenty of people tell me that because it was really freaking me out because I'm not like that at all. I would gravitate to a group anytime. But now walking through this, and I think there's reasons. I think I can actually say it a little bit now. I think you're fearful of what somebody's going to bring up. There's sometimes you don't want to talk about stuff. People's, and please don't be offended by this, but people's feeble attempt to try to say the right thing, there's really nothing to say. His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. We will never understand. And I used to think when I got to heaven, I'm going to ask him this, that, and the other. I had a long list at one time in my life. I think when I get there, it's not going to matter. I really believe that. And this included, but I just wanted you to know that if it seems like that's sort of my disclaimer, well, Brother Jay seems different. Well, we are. And if it's a walk away and, you know, you've been here and he really didn't spend time, all of that's probably guarded. I don't know how else to say it. But in these settings, this is now the fourth time that we've spoken publicly. I do know the Lord's in it, that you can do this and maybe not do the hospitable stuff, if for lack of a better word. But God's confirmed. When I was sitting here this morning with Brother Doug, I thought God does work in amazing ways, and it's an easy fit for him. There's no reason that we shouldn't leave here empowered. Brian leads us in worship, and just the song he just sang, you just need to be aware of what God wants to do in your life. And I'm going to attempt all week in the morning services really to define for you or just share with you some things that we need. It will be topical each service. And today I want to share with you a few minutes about faith. But it's a little different. It's sort of like last night. It's not faith whether you know Christ or not. That is, you know, it has to begin there. But I want to share with you from the standpoint of a fresh faith. I think sometimes that we hold on to stuff that happened so far back there. And when I look at my relationship with the Lord, and it's been even challenged more now, it's really about what is going on in my life today. God's given me favor with pastors that we don't agree on everything. Our theology's different. I believe if you have Christ in common, you have all things in common. I believe we're all supposed to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I think you should be in the Word of God every day asking God for that. Don't take my word for it or Brother Doug's or whoever's word for it, but what does the Word of God say? Stand on that. But you know what I found out about pastors? If you take 25 pastors from 25 different denominations and begin to talk to them about salvation, we'll kill each other. We'll kill each other. Whether how saved you are, whether how much you're saved, can you lose it after you're saved, or you can never lose it after you're saved, we will literally disintegrate each other. Take those same 25 pastors, same theology, talk about obedience. You can have some of the best fellowship God ever gave men of God. You say, Brother Jay, what's the difference? The difference is I was saved when I was 7. Okay? God calls me to be obedient today. You see the difference? A lot of times when people want to debate salvation, I really believe this, everything about me, we want to know how much sin we can get away with and still be right with God instead of living close to the heart of God. Now, a great example of that, and I feel like Brother Doug, I'm going to give you a 30-minute introduction today. Here's what I want you to know. Suzanne and I have been married for 35-plus years. I can't remember the last time we talked about our wedding. Can't remember. I don't remember the last time we talked about that song I sang to her or how beautiful she looked and how nervous I was and all of that. But you know, we've already talked about our life with each other today. Honey, I'll be back in a little bit. You be ready for church. I got you some breakfast. Just little simple things that remind us and enlighten us afresh and anew that we're married. You want to have a great camp meeting, maybe a great service today? I challenge you. Quit living in what God did for you yesterday and begin to think about what God is doing in your life today. With that in mind, I think about fresh faith. My faith journey with Christ started when I was 7. But there are times in my life where I need an oil change, if you will. I need fresh faith. I need God to do something. Draw me up close to Him, as we talked about last night. And so I want to share with you some thoughts along those lines, all right? If you're able, would you stand and honor God's word? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Out of the Christian Standard, if you've committed this to memory, I did in the King James, so it will be a little different wording, but I love it. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. You knew before the foundations of the world that we would stand on this platform. You knew everyone in your foreknowledge would be in this place. Now, God, we don't want to miss what you want to do. I pray first for that one. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that has never experienced original, authentic faith in you, I pray, God, that you stir them and they would not be able to leave this room until they've committed to you that gift that you have freely bestowed and put before us. And then I pray for all of us. There wouldn't be a person that leaves this tabernacle this morning that we couldn't say, my faith is up to date. My faith is renewed. And my faith is fresh in Jesus Christ. For that, Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory now and truly forevermore. For we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As you're settling in, I don't know about you, but I love fresh. I love springtime. I love early summer. It started happening. I have a person. His name is Tony. You can pray for him. I won't give last name, but he knows I pray for him every day because I tell him that. One of the roughest men I've ever known. I was at a golf course playing. They have a senior scramble where I play golf, and I was invited when I got of age. You have to be 50 and over to play in the senior scramble. And one of the first days that I'd ever started, there was a man that he's an inch or two taller than me. He's tough now. He looks rough. Scary, all right? Found out he has a heart big as a basketball, but he's rough. He's rough around the edges and anywhere in between. I mean, he's rough. I'm standing at a distance. They're putting all the teams together like they do every Tuesday morning. And all of a sudden, I see a man start walking to me. His name's Tony, and he's coming. And I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't want to talk to me. And the closer he got, I realized he's coming right to me. And I even wanted to look behind me and see where he was going. And finally, he stopped right in front of me. Loud. He's loud. Continues to be loud. When he calls me on the phone early in the morning, like before 6 sometime, and Suzanne's still asleep, she'll just nod her head, shake her head like, Lord Jesus, help him or something. Will he get out of bed and go talk to him? But Tony came right up to me and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, do you preach on TV? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I've been watching you on TV for a long time. That began a friendship with Tony, and he'll tell you, I ain't going to heaven. He said, I know I'm lost. I said, well, Tony, I guess that's the reason that God put me in your life. Well, preacher can't do nothing with me. One day he told me, he said, when I stand in front of the Lord, I know that we're just going to have to talk about it. And I said, problem with that, Tony. I said, you respect me? You've been watching me on TV. You've been coming to church now. I said, you respect what I say, what I believe? He said, I wouldn't listen to you if I didn't. And I said, there's not one verse of scripture that says that's going to have anything. It's going to be done when you stand in front of him. So it's beginning. I begin to see God soften him. But I found out Tony and his wife, he took early retirement. He was in the oil fields, rough guy. He and his wife have an unbelievable garden at their house. I'm talking about they do it now. They kill enough deer and enough hogs and all that. He's going to be fine when it all goes upside down. I'm going to live with Tony and Sandra when it happens. They put up food. He does sweet pickles with a little twist, a little spiciness, and he brings me jars all the time. And it's unique. I love this time of year. He's already brought me a bag of tomatoes. He called me. He didn't know I was going out of town. He called me and reminded me that he was going to bring me some to golf. And, well, I'm going to have to give them to someone else, was what he said on his message, since you didn't answer your phone. But I love fresh tomatoes this time of year. I'm not talking about those things that come from a third world country or from California and they put them on a truck and then you get them at Kroger or you get them at the grocery store. I'm talking about that fresh tomato that comes out of the garden. I can think of Brother Franklin right now bringing me how many hundreds of tomatoes through the years. But I love a tomato sandwich with white bread, blue plate mayonnaise. Don't come up here with some of this sheetrock mud and call it mayonnaise. You folks that like Hellman's, you don't know Jesus. I'll just tell you that. Blue plate mayonnaise, white bread, a tomato big enough that one slice is big enough for the whole sandwich. Are you following me? Yeah. I love freshness. Salt and pepper on it. And the only thing better than one is two. Phil and Amy Lloyd could tell you way back yonder when I was just a bean pole of a pastor. Of the time I ate banana sandwiches. And I won't tell you how many I ate, but it was more than two. I'll just leave it at that. But when I think about those kind of things, I love it fresh. I don't like leftovers much. Maybe a day. Maybe go into the refrigerator. But Suzanne, to tell you, about the second or third time, I've had enough. Listen to me. I've come to share with you that I think God likes fresh too. Amen? Amen. The spring of the year, he likes that stuff in our life. We struggle with the mundane of things. We like freshness, and God does too. This is an opportunity not just to remember the hot weather or to remember what went on or what was taught. It's an opportunity for us to have freshness in our life. Jim Cimbala comes to mind. I just reread his book. It's one of those, I won't go into it, but we hosted. It came to us. We hosted a pastor's conference at our church just some months back. about 4 months ago, and Jim Cimbala, he was the one behind it, and he came, and I got to spend a couple of days with him, but he wrote a book entitled Fresh Faith. I would encourage anyone and everyone to get that book and read it, because it is about the very thing that we're preaching on this morning. Just reread it, and a reminder for conversation that I had about him, with him about it, is that we all, no matter how long we've known the Lord, God wants to do something new and fresh in your life today. Brother Doug, I don't want anybody to be offended, but if I think there's a pitfall in holiness, it's something about something that happened way back yonder, and it's not up to date today. He said it in the Bible study this morning, be ye holy, for I'm holy. That's all present tense. Jesus is continuing to be holy, and he expects you and me to be holy in the present tense, not what he did for me 30 years ago. It's not about when I married him. It's about my obedience in him today. So when I think about faith and that fresh faith, I want to just give you some thoughts, share some things with you. When I think about faith in and of itself, it's a unique condition. Now, what I've decided to do is my normal preaching is I use the multimedia a lot. I found out a long time ago that people retain 10% of what they hear and 90% of what they see. And so we put a lot of scriptures up, and there's probably 8 or 10 of these, but I'm going to ask you to write them down. When you get through with your nap this afternoon, go and read some of them, all right? Brother Doug's already giving you homework, but it's unique. I just want to share with you how much the Word of God, now it won't be in its entirety, but several passages are verses of Scripture that deal with the aspect of faith. It's a unique condition. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 reminds us that we have the evidence. Faith is the evidence, and it's also the substance of our life. It's the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. It's a unique condition. When we have tangible words that remind us that it's still out there, it's trusting God for the unknown and the unseen. It's the trust and belief in him. The scripture says that you and I are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We know that part of the verse real well. Did you know the last part of the verse says, which the life that I live by the faith that I have in Jesus Christ. Wow. Think about it. This unique condition. Secondly, it's universal, but yet it's individual. It's unique, but it's universal. Every one of us have to operate in faith. You might be like I was at a time, well, that sounds good for the pastor, and it sounds good for the missionary, and it sounds good for parents. It sounds good for the older generation, but not me. I'd say that for the teens today. Listen to me. Faith, it's universal. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11:6. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How about that? Someone said, well, how am I going to get to heaven? You're going to get to heaven by faith. Well, I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. Well, it's the substance and the evidence of what's unseen, unknown. We're trusting God for that and belief. This has come to mind a few times. I might tell it before the end of the sermon. But where I am dealing with belief right now in our life, when we're going to please the Lord, we must have faith. And then there's unique. Then the scripture talks about things like the testing of our faith. So that reminds me that in this life that I have in Jesus, there are going to be times, from time to time, I'm going to be tested for my faith. That we don't throw up our hands and we give up, but we go on with the Lord regardless of what's going on in our life. The testing of our faith. James starts off his letter that way. And then he goes on and on. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. So we know this thing of faith is not just something that's going to be easy. That we have to fight it. It's universal, but it's individual. And so we have to fight that. So this thing of faith. And I'm building this, and I want you to see the dynamics of it, but we're going to end up in this fresh faith thing in just a few minutes. Listen to me. So we fight that. And then one more I think about is this thing that Paul continued on, his own life. His own life. When he was summing up his life, thinking his journey out of this life to the next was coming quickly, he said, I fought a good fight. Remember? You know, I finished my course. Remember what he said? I kept the faith. He kept it. So don't think sometimes, I think we have these words in our experience with Christ, that sometimes we just think they're just flowery words that sum up our relationship with him. No, faith is very active. You got to have it to go to heaven. You have to fight for it. It's something sustainable in our life. And if we're going to bring glory and honor to God, we have to be people of faith. So I asked you, how well are you operating in faith today? The last that I've already said here, but I'm going to say it as a point today, it's uncompromisable. People today that try to say, I come back to Tony a little bit, and I hope you pray for him. I see God peeling the onion one layer at a time on him. I've seen things happen. He's actually said this to me just a few weeks ago. He said, I'm just not there yet, preacher. And I went, that sounds like God's moving in his life right there. I'm not there yet. It's uncompromisable. It's a part of salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says that. For we're saved by grace. It's faith. In faith. It's a part of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we live by faith, not by sight. It's a part of our thinking. Think about that. Paul wrote it this way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a part of our thinking that we should realize that this faith experience, God wants to work on our mindsets and our life. It's a part of spiritual warfare. Paul showed that in Ephesians 6, where he talked about the putting on the whole armor of God. One of the parts of the armor of God is the shield of faith, where you and I can be sustained when the fiery darts of the enemy come our way. What's going to sustain us when we go through the battles of life? It's going to be the shield of faith. So I hope I've shared adequately and accurately enough for you to know today that faith is a major player in who we are. Somebody on the sound of my voice, that you think you're going to get there because you've done enough good versus bad and God's going to let you in. No. You're going to get there because you have faith in the Son, the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe? I told you that it's come up two or three times. I'll tell it now. That fateful day, Monday before Easter in April, when our lives changed forever, from that time to Easter Sunday, I remember telling Suzanne about 3 or 4 days later, I would read my Bible, I would pray, I would try to get along with the Lord, and it was nothing. I got very alarmed. I don't want to make it more. I don't want you to think. I'll tell you this honestly before the Lord in this place that I'm really a nobody. I'm not a spiritual pillar. I'm not. I just want to be right with the Lord. I want to be He is. So don't think this is some spiritual whatever. But it was concerning to me. I know what the voice of the Lord is in my life. I know what the presence of the Lord is like in my life. I know looking back on it, some of it was the depth of grief, and we continue to live there at times. But I confided in my other half. I said, something's not right. When I pick up the Bible, it's just like blank. When I pray, it's like it might as well go to the ceiling and back. And so that's where I was. I started because our house, Mallory lived with us. She, after her undergraduate, she'd started a doctoral program, and so she moved in back to the house. And so it's treasures that will forever, but to take that way. But she was in her house every day. And so being in the house was pretty tough. So we got where we were sitting on the porch that we never sat on. Our road in front of our house is almost like another person's driveway, and so it's not any traffic hardly. And you see it before, you know, people come in. So I was walking the road every day. And one particular day, it was Easter Sunday morning. I tell this, I think about it. You can tell that your life has been altered when Easter Sunday, as a pastor, you're walking down the street in shorts. And you have a sunrise service and two services that you're not a part of. And so I was walking down the street and I was praying. And I'm still in that same state. Everything is just dull. For lack of a better word. And I was asking the Lord, I just want to know this is of you. I want to know that you haven't left us. I don't understand. I don't see your plan. I just can't even see your hand, as the old song says. But I just want to trust your heart. I was praying to that end. I can take you to the square foot where I was. All of a sudden, I sensed the presence of the Lord for the first time in 6 days. And I sensed the Lord say to my heart, it was not audible, but I know the voice of the Lord in my own life. I sensed the Lord say deep down in my being, Jay, you can trust me. And about that time, when that word came, immediately there was a sense of conviction that came over me. And the next thing the Lord said to me was this, Jay, you can trust me. But then it was like, it wasn't the same feeling. It was like just to the marrow of who I am. This is what I sensed the Lord say, but I need you to believe. I need you to believe. Now for 2.5 months, I've been walking through that journey. It's not to say, hey, look at the preacher. I went in my reading room, and the Bible that I picked up was a Bible that somewhere we don't know where Mallory got it from. I have it with me. It's become a mainstay of my life. I picked up that Bible. It's a New American Standard. I never read that translation. Just a little Bible, little black Bible. And when I picked it up and opened up on the front cover of it where you sign whose Bible it is, Mallory had put her name. That's all that's in there. No other mark. Nobody knows where it came from. I want to be just real spiritual and tell you I know where it came from. But anyway, it's become a keepsake. Well, in that Bible, I've already been through the entire New Testament. Hey, he's something, isn't he? I hope you don't just hear that. And in the whole New Testament, every time the word believe is in there, or unbelief, or anything that references like that, it has circles and notes as I've asked the Lord, is this what you want me to believe? I found out some amazing things. I thought about it, Brother Doug. That's when I said, God's in all this, by the way. A big word, 3 letters, all. All's in that passage twice, by the way, of my text. That little 2-letter word, if. Well, let me tell you something. You go read how many times you find the word believe in the Word of God. It'll change your life. Did you know that there was places that Jesus went to when he walked on this earth that he couldn't do anything because the people around him did not believe him for it? Did you know God can't do anything in your life unless you believe him for it? You can't be saved if you don't believe him. You can't be separated unto holiness unless you believe God for it. He can't change your marriage. He can't change your life. He can't change your habits. He can't change your hobbies unless you believe him for it. If you think, well, God, I want you to do this, God's going to turn it around and say, do you believe? I don't want to get way off in the woods, but it comes to mind. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and dies will live forever. And then he turned to Martha and he said this, do you believe this? What was he saying? It's no good, Martha, if you don't believe it. Of course, she had already affirmed her belief in the resurrection. We know one day. Jesus is telling her, listen, Martha, one day could be today. You don't have to live in the daily. You can live in the divine. I got to get back to where we are. It's uncompromisable. Do you believe? Think about it. I'm not here to make you desire for you to doubt your faith you have in the Lord. I would think anybody that would sit in a tabernacle on the 4th of July, you got to have some kind of faith experience. That you would load up and go to camp instead of going to the lake. You got to have some kind of faith experience. If you listen to preacher preach like me, you can come listen to Brother Doug, that's a whole other world. You got to have some kind of faith experience. But let me ask you something. How fresh is it? How fresh is it? You say, Brother Jay, is this in the Word of God? It's in there. As I've already shared with you about obedience, obedience is better than sacrifice. There are people that have sacrificed their faith experience. Lord, you ought to be happy with me because I'm saved. You ought to be happy with me because I go to church. You ought to be happy with me because I do this, that, and the other. But God has always said to me, Jay, I don't care what you're doing. I want you. Because when I have you, everything else is going to fall in place. But we start trying to show God what we're doing. So here we're talking about fresh faith. And I want to share with you a passage of Scripture. Blows me away. It's just tucked away in the New Testament. If you're taking notes, it's found in Luke chapter 8. You remember John the Baptist? Remember the forerunner of Christ? One gospel says that I can just see him now opening up a jar of honey and dipping a bug into it and eating it. Boy, that's a picture, isn't it? I can just see a rough-looking fellow. I haven't seen Marty Evans yet, but Big Marty, we called him, at Bethel Church. I remember like yesterday us doing a drama there at the church, and one of the scenes was him coming down the aisles. Y'all remember that? And he was dressed up like John, had that hair, and he was screaming, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So you get that picture? Man, John stood. Are you the Messiah? No. Y'all missed it. I'm not even worthy to take his shoes off. Watch this now. I got a mic so I can move. I'm not even worthy to kneel down at Jesus' feet. I'm a nobody. But the one coming will take away the sins of the world. Pretty good stuff, right? Good stuff, right? Everybody with me? You'll really be with me because I'm about 2-3 minutes from being through. Isn't that good? Pretty good stuff, right? Man, that'll preach, Brother Brown. It'll preach. Luke chapter 7. He calls two disciples. It's not looking good for John. Two of his followers. And he says, I got something I want you to do. I want you to go find Jesus. And when you find him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask him, is he the one? Or should we look for someone else? So John the Baptist, kinfolk of Jesus, the forerunner, now, what is he wanting? I believe in everything about me. He's wanting fresh faith. Circumstances have changed. I have to watch what I say because of the emotional level of Suzanne and myself, and I haven't worked through all this yet. It's just getting started. Wouldn't hurt her for nothing, anything. But listen to me. You know what I need? Jay, do you have faith in the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, I have a great appreciation for dying. Today's a pretty good day. When you lose what we've lost, what else is there? Today's a great day for the Lord to come back. Except for people that don't know him. Except for a category of people that say, Lord, Lord. And he said, there's going to be people that say, Lord, Lord, that's not going to enter in. And they're going to say, wait a second. We stood on the platform and preached. We were missionaries. We cast out devils. We taught. We preached. He's going to say these words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. For I never knew you. And he's saying, you never had faith. You never put your utter dependence and belief in me. You thought it was works. What separates us from all other religions is not based on works to begin with. Listen, because the work was done on Calvary by Jesus himself. It was a gift. And we accept the gift. And then our life, we begin this process of being what God wants us to be. What am I saying? What was John saying? I need fresh faith. I'm not here to challenge you of whether you have faith in the Lord. I hope you do. I want to believe the vast majority here do. If not today, you need to get some. And we can help you with that. But I wonder how many people here, your faith is sort of stale. Maybe you're facing something in your life and you know you need more. I don't need God from yesterday. I need God today. And you know, I wrestle with this. What a great looking crowd. I hope we don't preach y'all away. But I want to share this with you. I want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to plead and beg. I don't know if I've ever done that in invitations anyway. You don't have to sing 12 verses or something and come back up to the mic 4 times. I've been to invitations before. I thought, man, I know the Lord. If I go to the altar, will they quit? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? No, we're not going to wear you out. I got to believe everything about me if God laid it on my heart. We're standing on God's word, and we preach truth. I believe in this safe environment, if God's spoken to you about your faith experience in him, you already know what you need to do. So what I want to do for you is give you an opportunity to experience fresh faith. If you allow the person beside you, in front of you, behind you, or me even, to wonder, then you're missed it. Do Suzanne and I need fresh faith? Yeah, every day. It's an old song that says, Lord, I need a brand new touch. And the lyric says, because my strength from yesterday is gone. Gone. fresh faith. There's not a bigger stalwart in the Word of God to me than John the Baptist. The stand that John the Baptist took, go read it. It's an unbelievable story. And John, for all of his paramount ability to stand and be different and be counted and have it all figured out, it looked like, here's John going up. Hey, guys, will y'all go check and make sure he's the right one? What did he need? He needed fresh faith. So today, that's what I offer to you. This is not saying you're lost and you need to be saved, or you're walking in gross disobedience. Maybe you're just going through a tough time. But maybe today, there are those on the sound of my voice, maybe you've laid faith down. Today's the day to pick it up. Because I'll tell you something, I can see it, Brother Doug, because listen, we can preach holiness all week long. But if there's holes in our faith, then holiness is not going to take root the way it needs to. One of these sermons, I will preach on a filling. God still wants to fill people. He still wants to make a difference in our life. He wants to increase in our life so that we decrease. But that's no good if there's issues with my faith. So I need God to do something. We're there. Brother Ryan, however you want to do it. You come and sing for us. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I'm going to have a prayer while they're getting ready. And this altar time is yours, okay? Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord. You know my heart like never before, Lord. If people just see and hear me, then I know that I am an utter failure before you. But God, today we have tried in our words to show people how paramount it is to have a faith experience in only you. But Lord, as even one song says, and sometimes our faith is shaken. Sometimes we go through things, and just like John, we get to a point where we just want to make sure. Maybe it's the next step. Maybe it's the next level. Maybe it's something, God, that you're revealing to us, and we know we can't do it where we are. We've got to have more of you. So whatever that looks like, I pray for freshness today. Oh, Lord, that there'd be a fresh wind that would blow in our being. That, Lord, we'd quit living in yesterday and start walking with you today in a true and fresh fashion. God, just use this time. However you've moved on hearts, would we be obedient to that? We'll be careful to praise you, for we ask you to pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is yours in this time.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look for his wonderful face and the things of
we thank you today that you created a way for us to have faith.
It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without it, Lord, it's impossible to please you. But you know, Lord, in life, in this fallen, rotten, dirty world that we live in, Lord, it seems like our faith can be tested, can be tried. And God, even we take steps away from it from time to time. But God, I pray for freshness today. I agree, Lord, with the ones that have stepped out from the public to have a private time with you. I pray that there be a freshness that comes over their life, that they've chosen you over the world. They've chosen you over the circumstances of life. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen their faith. I pray that you would lighten their load, that you would let them know that burdens are lifted at Calvary, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. God, I thank you and I praise you. And Lord, I thank you, God, that when we turn our eyes to you, everything else pales in comparison. God, continue, Lord, as we continue on this journey, this encampment together, that not one person would miss what you have for them and for us. And for that, God, we will give you praise and glory now and forevermore. For we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Jay. Much needed. The kids have already gone through the lunch line, so let's pray for lunch, and then you'll be dismissed, and you can go ahead and go straight through the line when you get in. Father, again, I thank you for the way that you are moving in these services, God, and I pray that you will continue to stir hearts. Father, as we go into the cafeteria, I thank you for the hands that prepared the meals. And may we use those meals to build ourselves up so that we can go out and spread your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.